Ho, ho, Santa Claus here. The holidays, well, they're just around the corner. And if you still have names on your list, you've quit being a bastard. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. I found this custom pet portrait blanket. That's a mouthful. That's what she said. Yeah, you send in a pic of your dog and they print it in a cozy blanket. They put it on a blanket. It's genius. I got one for my mom with her dog Gus on it, and she cried. She cried so much I cried. Gus barked. It was a huge hit. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, which rules. You also get to give something cool and support the people who made it. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year that you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/about. That's uncommongoods.com/about for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Guys, Adam Ray here. And look, we all have those nights where your brain just won't shut up. You're lying there in bed thinking about that awkward thing you said to your gym teacher in 2012, or maybe that thing that your mom's best friend said to you and you didn't know how to respond, or if your dog knows that you love him as much as you say you do. I've been there. And recently, I found something that's actually been helping me chill out. CBDFX. They've been around since 2014. They're one of the OGs of the CBD world, and everything they make is clean, organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no sketchy chemicals, just pure good vibes. I've been really digging their CBD plus CBN calming tincture. I take it before bed, and I swear it's like hitting the off switch for all that late night brain noise. I've also tried their mixed berry gummies, which taste incredible. It's not like medicine. It's more like something you actually want to eat, you know, and you just feel more balanced, more chill and laid back, maxing all cool shootings and b-ball outside of the school. Whether you want calm focus, better sleep, or just overall wellness in your life, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my ALN listeners get 40% off your first order with promo code AboutLastNight at CBDFX.com. That's CBDFX.com with promo code AboutLastNight to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
Is it weird to hear your own voice like that?
I mean, it always is weird.
Really?
Yeah, I don't usually, you know.
Talking to a mic?
Yeah, exactly, with like headphones.
Well, you're a stand-up
on.
Comic.
Oh, no, yeah. No. That is like projecting out to the audience. It's not like,
right.
You know. And then for whatever reason, it sounds a lot lower in my head. So then when I hear it and I'm headphones, I'm like, God damn it. Yeah. Never be a leading man. Yeah.
Unless a leading man needs you know,
yeah,
some sort of speech pattern like that.
Right.
Yeah. Leading man in a Muppet movie.
Like, yeah, maybe like a Joaquin Phoenix-y, Herb.
A leading
loser
puppet.
Type.
Yeah.
You know? Are we podcasting right now, or are we just talking?
Well, I like to do the first 15 minutes for you just to have a self-reflective moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Consider this the looking in the mirror portion of the podcast.
Yeah.
I just rewatched that Joaquin Phoenix clip like a week ago.
Which one?
When he went on Letterman and was just completely out of his mind.
What was that?
I don't know.
Well, did you guys see the movie?
No.
You got to watch the movie. The movie's
What's the movie that he's promoting?
Amazing. He's making a movie with Casey Affleck called I'm Not There. So Casey,
oh, yeah, about...
Where he plays this actor that's having a meltdown. He plays himself having a meltdown, getting into hip hop, and it's almost like a Borat where it's like he's the only one in on the joke. It's like Andy Kaufman-esque.
Whoa.
But it's actually really funny, and there's like scenes where he's just like at a hip hop club rapping. There's a scene with P. Diddy where P. Diddy is he's trying to convince P. Diddy to do a record, and P. Diddy won't even fucking look at him. He's just like, nah, man.
Yeah, because he brought it to the streets, because when Sacha Baron Cohen did that, even with Bruno, he told Howard Stern, I'm coming on as Bruno.
Yeah.
Everyone was ready.
Yeah.
He was just showing up like that. It looked like a manic episode.
And Letterman, too, is just so... I feel like it rolls with the punches, but also it's like if he wasn't in control. No. So that's where, you know, you could sense that he was like, what the fuck are you doing? And you're not going to, I mean, he did it, you know, in a way, kind of calling him out, like, and they just started kind of blasting him.
Yeah.
I think he was mad he didn't get the heads up. Like, you should have given me a heads up on this.
Yeah. I'd play along maybe, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You would have.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
I mean, I wouldn't want to piss off David Letterman.
Yeah, and he has a beard now. He knows what it's like. He has a beard mentality.
Would you guys ever... There is a beard mentality.
There is.
When I see people with giant beards, I think that they're thinking three things all the time. Do you want to come to my cabin in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make you some homemade cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a slight chance I'm going to butt fuck you on a coffee table.
Yeah, and also, what am I smelling?
Yeah.
And I'm way more manlier than my skinny jeans. I feel like it's like they're
beards. Yeah, there's big beards and skinny jeans out here.
Yeah, out here it's like they're.
You go to like Wisconsin or like Bellingham, Washington.
Oh,
like
right.
It's just beards and overalls.
Yeah, because you got to chop. You got to beard and you got to be.
Yeah, that's chop legs. Country. Yeah, chop salads, chopping trees.
Gotta keep your face warm.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever go full beard, Mark? You can hug that mic more too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, never. I can't even grow one.
You can't?
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. In our 10 years of... We've been friends for 10,
mm-hmm.
10 years?
Yeah.
And you guys have known each other for how long? About the same?
Probably like 15.
15, yeah.
Wow. 17,
yeah. Yeah. No, this...
I've never seen you with any sort of facial hair combination.
This is 2 weeks of growth.
Have you ever tried to go a full year?
No.
Or you do that all the time because you just don't shave?
No, never.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it just doesn't look good.
I bet a goatee maybe, no? But maybe...
No.
But also...
No, not with his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would look dope with a beard.
Yeah, I think so too.
Grow it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that involves dancing. With this voice, it involves dancing the night away. Just like chain ankled to a picnic table outside a very, very flamboyant bar.
Yeah.
Now, this is a unique podcast. Because we got no dwarf.
Yeah. Well, to him.
But he's here in spirit.
Yeah.
And
Adam forgot to water him, so he shrank.
Yeah, where'd he go?
I can't blame him.
And if I can be honest, overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated. Having a dwarf co-host is overrated.
By nature.
No, Brad's looking for houses right now. Actually, no, he's in Rochester currently.
Yeah. Rated starts at 4 feet. He's on.
So he's Oh my God! He just posted these Instagram stories of him at this. It's at the Museum of Play, and he was on set at Sesame Street, and then he was shooting Shredder with like a pizza gun, and then he was on this thing where it was one of those perspective wall where you lay down on it, but then you take the picture at an angle, so it looks like he was scaling a wall like Spider-Man. Does like that make sense?
Like Brad was.
I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Look. I mean, it sounds hilarious picturing him scaling a wall like Spider-Man.
Oh, I would.
Because it's more like Tick Man.
Mark, do you want to introduce our other special guest?
Yeah, that over there barking in the corner is my dog Rio barking at himself in the mirror. It's his first time seeing himself.
Maybe we should turn the mirror.
Yeah, Rio.
Because I'm not supposed to have pets here.
Okay.
And if my landlord listens to this podcast, we're
and
fucked.
Actually, he's angry over there. His hair is up. I've never seen that before. I've had him for 3 months. I've never seen him this angry. He doesn't like the way he looks. He's like, I thought it was a person the whole time. You never told me, motherfucker.
It's like Kevin Spacey found out he was a cat.
Yeah.
Anybody see that movie? 9 Lives?
Never saw it.
Yeah, well, you should go back and watch it now.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, this dude was such a, you know, he was, that was his thing too. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to try to distract people from thinking I'm some male sexual predator by turning into a pussy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my.
Okay, that joke gets nothing.
No, that's right, no. That's the, I was worried about Rio over there. I was half listening.
What do you guys think about all that? You're comedians. You have a topical point of views.
About Kevin Spacey, I think that he just...
Let me get specific, yeah. So I think Spacey was the first big, bombshell, right?
These are pre-internet stories, too. Like, the internet didn't exist back then, so these guys had cover, like...
Hug that.
People had cover back then. Like, these stories you told four people, they told four people, that's 16. They had no way to get these stories out. Now they do.
Yeah.
So these stories are awful. He was just going around just like grabbing dicks in bars like it was a joystick on a Pac-Man game. No, he was. He would grab some kid's dick who was like 17 years old and just like tugged it around a little bit. But the kid was straight and he was traumatized.
Also, there's something to be said about like the laughing. The people are like, when I would watch these Matt Lauer interviews, like Anne Hathaway had some wardrobe malfunction apparently right before she went on the Today Show, like the night before at a premiere. And I think something got shown in between. I think that got like exposed. And his opening line is, Anne Hathaway, good morning. Nice to see you. Been seeing a lot of you lately.
Wow.
That's his first line. And she goes, yeah. And then she laughs it off because she's a pro. But then she also goes, because she didn't want to go out. She didn't want to do anything after that. She was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And she was like, she goes, yeah, I didn't try to stay home, but, you know, the film. And then he goes, how do you come back from something like that?
Wow.
But also his tone of voice, there's no jokey rapport. He wasn't laughing. And then Sandra Bullock was on for the proposal, and they cut to they show a clip of her, I think, being kind of naked in one of the parts, and it cuts back. And he goes, well, he goes, this movie was a great thing for me because it was the first. He goes, I finally got to see Sandra Bullock naked, and she kind of laughs like uncomfortably. Wow. And then he goes, man, and he goes, you're naked like this whole movie. She goes, no, I'm not. It's one scene. Yeah. And he goes, it's like the whole movie. And she goes, what?
Yeah.
Like, and he's just like so, like, you know.
That's totally fucked up. What movie?
The Proposal.
Okay.
It's one scene. Yeah. But yeah. What moment? What's the time code on the scene?
Let me see how wrong he was.
Yeah. But there's no jokey, even like they're laughing to kind of help diffuse the moment. But he's laughing too. So as a viewer, you're like, they're all just having
a
good time.
She's above you in the pecking order of entertainment. You have to run that by her before she comes on.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
You can't blindside her with that. I don't take shit from a busboy at my job.
Yeah, you don't. I've seen it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the thing with Matt Lauer too, he was just, did you see, do you know the comedian Pete Lee? He's been on Letterman.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see his update about Matt Lauer?
No.
So apparently Pete Lee, when he was 13, was a world-class skateboarder.
Holy shit.
In a United States national competition. It was the finals. And the entire, Matt was sent there to cover it when he was just a basic, news guy. And the whole time when the camera was off, was ripping the teenage skateboarders, saying it wasn't a real sport, and screaming, why do I have to cover this? And some kid was like, hey man, this is our dream. He's like, get the fuck out of here, kid. Yeah. Look at Pete Lee's update about it. And at that point, I go, you're a dick. These are children.
Where is... Oh my God.
Yes, and skateboarding is annoying, but when you're covering it, you know?
I don't even know, like, what were the specific allegations? You told me that there was one where he was, like, giving out dildos.
He was giving out dildos Christmas and presents? Other. Look, and I've said this before, like, Secret Santa that shit. Don't sign your name and Happy Holidays.
Totally.
Even Happy Holidays is creepy. Don't write anything.
Yeah.
You made it weirder by adding a note. You know what I'm saying?
And I can't believe
we should. It's 2017. You should be able to just give out a dildo without any strings attached.
Yeah.
And hopefully there are no strings attached.
Or just like act like you were throwing it out.
That's a tampon.
That's a bottle rocket.
Yeah. Just like act like you were throwing it. Like don't say that you bought it. Like, hey, I was going to throw this out. Do you want this?
I don't know. Then, yeah. I just feel like, yeah, you can make the gift.
This year, by the way? Was that this year's gift? Like, when did he do that? Was it last year, I hope? Or did he do it this year thinking he'd get it?
Well, if he's real smart, he should have like somehow made it like, give it and then like make it a Matt Lauer deal. Like, I don't know, like make find it, a way to market that.
Make it double headed and say you're willing to go in on it too.
Or if she's Jewish, give her like 8 days of dildos.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Make it festive.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably more and more stories too, by the way. Some of these, I mean, I feel like there's only four or five like that they put in the initial thing. And him saying the sex button thing to me is the craziest. Don Marrero was saying last night at the Laugh Factory, he goes, I think he developed carpal tunnel from that sex button thing, just pressing it so much. And for me, I'm like, the only other guy that had a sex button was the boss from the Jetsons. You know, that was to drop you into a pit of sharks or tigers.
Where's that guy right now?
Not to be like, don't you run away from this dick, you know?
Yeah.
Where's that guy? Yeah, where's the boss from the Jetsons?
Yeah. Here's a big red flag, too. You have a couch in your office.
And it's in the corner, by the way.
Who has a couch in their office? Why is it? What is that needed for?
You don't need that for. Are you going away from your power position behind the desk to ever just lounge?
No.
Are you laying back like a therapy desk?
No.
Or a therapy situation?
No.
The couch in the office, I think, always, to me, sends off vibes of like...
So do you think that like with most of these guys that... So one of the things everybody always says is like, why would these guys think they could get away with it? And the truth of the matter is probably because they were getting away with it a lot of the time. Like, it was working.
Yep.
A lot of time, like Matt Lauer would say something creepy to a chick and she'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Or Kevin Spacey would grab a guy's dick and he'd be like, yeah, what's up? But, you know, you know, it's like, if it worked 1 in 10 times, that's like enough to, because they're powerful dudes.
Yes.
It's like, you go, why would this dude do this?
It's also a lot of newscasters. And what I realized just now is they control the news. They say the news. They're like, I'm not going to say that about myself. Like, in tonight's news, Matt Lauer has been pushing a button and fucking with, let, you know, he's like, this is,
dildo,
this is me.
Dildos.
Yeah. He's like, you're not going to report yourself, Bill O'Reilly.
I mean, Matt Lauer really was the ultimate, like,
fucking
just 180
dork. Just a
from
bald
where.
Dork.
I hope Al Roker comes out with some stories.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just like, you ready for a tsunami? Let's see if you can squirt. Yeah.
I'm saying Al Roker.
Oh, about that. Oh, sorry.
I meant like he comes out with like, you know, because he was best friends with them for like, what, 20
oh,
years?
Yeah.
Let's also get back to the fact that he had a couch that he tried to hook up on. Couch sex sucks. Like, you know, you're like we're starting on the couch. And then like after a minute, you go, this fucking sucks. I can't move your leg. Let's get off the couch. He has a desk.
To the bed, yeah.
Bent over desk sex sounds way hotter than, like, why even have the couch?
Yeah, I think he did everything wrong.
He did everything wrong.
Know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who did everything right. Joe.
Yes.
Joe King or Joe Sinclitico?
Joe Sinclitico.
And why the, you Joe, born Joe King?
No, Joe King was when I was doing open mics, nobody could pronounce Sinclitico. And they, when you're doing open mics and there's like 30 comics, the host never bothers to actually like come up to you and go, how do I pronounce this? They just go up and they just go, Joe Shindab, and they just
they're adding letters?
Busher.
See, that bothers me because I feel like I got it the first time.
Yeah, you probably did. I mean, it's
you're literate. That's the thing.
Some people just look at a name. Like I would get telemarketing calls and they'd be like, Joe Smending. And it's like, dude, you quit after one letter.
Wow.
You looked at one, the first letter.
Is
and
that
you
dyslexia?
Said, nope,
or you just look
just
at a name like that and you don't even.
Yeah, they're just lazy. Yeah.
That's a big, that says a lot, I feel like, about you as a person. And you're, that's a metaphor for your life. If you look at a name like that and you add letters, and you also, you gave up when you saw the name.
Yeah,
what does that tell you about the rest of your life?
Nope.
Little challenges like this or just like brain teasers? You're like, I'm out.
I'm fucking done.
I guarantee they're all also just like Tim Smith, Doug Jones. Like they're not used to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they go, we should all have the same name. Same name, same shoes.
Yeah.
Have we all hosted open mics here?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like I'm hosting one right now.
It's the worst.
There's a buddy of mine from college who just started and he's like, already 3 months in and already like wants to sit down and ask me like how to like jump hurdles. And he's like, this open mic thing, man. It's like, I think I got it. I'm good on this.
Yeah.
I go, you're good on it? I go, what? You've mastered the open mic?
Yeah.
You're crushing it, all of them. Everyone, every other open micer is like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You ready for the big league superstar?
0%.
Yeah. He's also- like, no, but I mean like, I just, like I got, like I get that that's like, that's, you need that. And I'm glad I did that. I'm
right.
Like, what are you?
Yeah.
My favorite
I'm
was
like,
when
I'm like, try to read Joe Sinclitico and then quit comedy. You know?
Yeah.
You need two more challenges.
My favorite was how quickly everybody got business cards. It was like 2 months in.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They
I did
had
that.
Fuck it. Me too. Everybody did it. You had to.
My
like,
tour schedule's on here. Oh, so I can know when you're going to be at Sal's Comedy Hole.
So it's
Monday from 5 to 6:30.
It's corny to have business cards.
It is when you're doing open mics.
Yo, I'm talking about when you're, dude, I was a year out of college where I'd done stand up 9 times and I was like, come see my shows.
Shit.
Yeah.
Can we take a 5 minute break? I empty out my wallet.
Yeah.
What would be the corniest business card? One with your face on it and your phone number, right?
Did you have a business card tagline?
Huh?
Like a tagline?
Yeah, I still do.
What does it say?
It says, here's your beeswax. I changed business for beeswax. It wasn't working at all.
No,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's a guy in Utah. He just had his name. His name was Jim Shanks. Jim, if you're still alive and you're listening to this podcast somehow, quick shout out to you, man. You might have been the silliest, funniest, creepiest, kindest guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
All in one. But his business card just had his name on it. Jim Shanks. No email.
Fuck yeah.
No.
Yo, in case you wanted to get a tattoo of it later.
What is your business card?
I think it was a picture, and then it was like the MySpace page.
Yeah. I had a taxidermied llama.
Of course you did.
And nice. Then it just said Joe, my name, and then funny joke person.
Perfect. You know what this guy Jim Shanks did? Well, Jim Shanks?
Yeah.
He was basically telling you right here, he goes, this is my favorite font. That's all you need to know about.
Let me save you the get to know you process. Funts, this one. Love it. My name, check.
Yeah.
Now you know two things about me. Start talking about you.
He handed that to you at like a show or?
It was a comedy, the first comedy festival I did in Utah, like my first year of comedy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff Dye was there and Marcus from Last Comic Standing. And,
I remember him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad idea because then you just, most people just Google a person anyways and then they can contact you via websites or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go like this to Jim. You go, Jim, what font is this? He goes, it's Arial Reverse Cowgirl.
I remember him too because he was, it was one of those things where he was, like we went to a hometown buffet, right? And the boss was being like a complete asshole, right? This boss, the boss, and it just he found out we were comedians. He was being a dick. And then the girl who was our server was coming over. She was real sweet. And we were all chumming up with her. And she was, I think, probably talking to us maybe, you know, considerably a little bit too long in between checking on us. But it was slow. It was a slow day. It was the middle of the day on a Sunday. We were at the comic festival. It was over at the hometown buffet. And so we're, and the boss, I think, was jealous that she was chumming up with us. So he comes over. He goes, she bothering you guys? And we're like, no, she's fine. He goes, hey. He goes, hey, Rachel, stop riff-raffing with the comedians. Let them eat their food. And we're like, oh, no, she's fine. He goes, that's cool. He goes, you guys got any more shows? And we're like, no. And he goes, hey, you know, I did comedy for a little bit. We're like, oh, great. He goes, yeah. He goes, hey, Rachel, actually, I got a joke for you. He goes, we're all like, oh, shit. Here's a fucking lawsuit about to happen. Like, get the paperwork ready. And he goes, Rachel, what do you call an employee standing around? And there's just a pause, and we all kind of look at each other, and he goes, bullshit. He goes, get back to work. I laughed because I'm like, did not expect that. Very funny.
Yeah.
You're also a huge prick. She's visibly upset, turns and walks away. And Jeff Dye just goes, hey, dude, you're an asshole.
That's great. Yeah, because he tried to big dog the whole situation.
Yes.
You guys included.
Yes.
Like you're complicit and you're standing around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great if he's like, my name is Don Velveeta. I'm in charge of the cheese fountain.
I would love to. Don Velveeta. That's so. Yeah. I always think about when some of these brand names, is Fred Meyer, Don Velveeta, John Varvatos? Are they all hanging out?
They got it.
They got it.
Plus, with that guy, you go, dude, you can't King Kong the situation wearing khakis. Yeah. You got khakis and a weave belt. Like, no need to thump your chest.
Rob Vlasic, the pickle guy, what's he up to, you know?
Yeah.
Be doing anything. He's definitely sexually harassing people, though.
Yeah, if your last name's Vlasic.
Like, you want a crunchy fucking bite of this?
But he, like...
Goes great with sandwiches.
Oh, God.
Potato salad. Pudding, if you want to. You decide. You know what I'm saying, shit?
When did you guys start comedy?
Tomorrow.
Joe, where did you start? You guys met 15 years ago in San Diego?
I started in San Diego. I was 16. I actually, when I was 12, my sister was in high school and she took a stand-up comedy class.
Your sister did?
My sister did.
She the funniest one on the fam?
My sisters are both fucking...
According to her resume and
so
blog.
Funny. Actually, my middle sister... who never did anything regarding like theatrical or comedy. She's probably the funny. She's really funny. But no, my sister took a stand-up comedy class and it was like at a community college and we went to the final performance and it was literally in a classroom. So all the people got up and did stand-up in front of a classroom. And at the end, the instructor is like, hey, I see a lot of people that came here to watch. Do you guys want to tell a joke? Like, it was the weirdest fucking thing. But it made total sense to me when I was 12. I was like, this is my motherfucker. It was just like Eminem, Lose Yourself.
What? Had you been sitting there watching comic after comic being like, I can do this. That sucked.
Yeah, well, my sisters used to watch stand-up comedy when I was like five. Like, they showed me Delirious when I was five, and I didn't understand any of it, but I was like, I want to say motherfucker like that dude.
This story gets better. Continue.
When you were 5 years old, you saw Delirious?
Yeah, I saw Delirious. My one time my dad and my mom took me to see Whoopi Goldberg when I was like nine.
I would love if like
and
this
she
was,
called me
I
out.
Mean, the documentary, the opening of the scene of the documentary is you watching Whoopi
at
and
nine,
like really dramatic music and Whoopi just being like, that's what I said. And then cutting to Joe just wide-eyed like, what am I watching?
Yeah, it was
who is this comedic
force?
It
was a giant theater. And she literally pointed to me during the show.
Wow.
And she goes, you shouldn't have brought that boy.
You're
you shouldn't have bought that boy.
And you're
you
the boy?
Here. I was the boy.
Wait a minute. This special is documented?
No, it wasn't a show. Special. It was just a show. She was performing in a downtown San Diego theater.
You shouldn't have brought that boy.
And she's like, you shouldn't have brought that boy, because she's like, I'm the homeless hooker pussy. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like,
I guarantee you she remembers that, too.
Yeah, it would be incredible to find out.
You
got to
get on The View somehow.
I know. Let's
you got to tweet at Whoopi.
Yeah. I just
remember when you called me out.
Write a letter.
Look at me now.
To The View.
Yeah, in crayon.
Like fan letter.
In crayon.
Yeah, in crayon.
You scarred me from that.
And then just like, I became a drug addict at 20.
That is, dude, that is a fucking, I mean, I don't know if that's enough for the story of the movie of your life, but that Whoopi fucking put you in a spiral.
Call me out. Dude, there must have been like 5,000 people there. And she
said, did everybody laugh?
And she,
of course. That's
no,
always.
She was fucking chastising my parents. She was like, he shouldn't be here.
Well, it wasn't like a joke. Like, I've had kids in shows, and, you know, I think we all have done it, where you're just like, you start talking, it's like a 13, 14-year-old kid, and you start being like,
no.
You know, you're gonna remember all this, or like, tell your friends, blah, blah, blah. Like, why would you bring him here? And it's a funny thing. This was your bad parents.
She instantly knew.
Whoopi Goldberg called your parents out.
And I was gonna be a drug addict. Yeah. She knew it. She was like, that you're fucking.
She also
this kid
created
out.
A comedian in that moment with her magic touch.
Yeah,
she might as well have a ray going out of her hand,
she
like
the whoopee
comedian,
touch.
And just fucking just that's her superpower. She just shocks you into comedian life.
Yeah. She shoots a ray like
that's how Barack did it to Trump. He's like, you and I are going to be president. And he pointed at him, and he just turned him into a president.
That is an incredible story.
Anyway, back to your performance at the school.
Oh yeah,
the
so
open mic.
I went out
the comedy school.
My sister goes.
What was her joke?
My sister's joke. No, my sister had performed like a full set, and then the instructor said, "Does anybody want to tell a joke?" And she goes, "Oh, my little brother's funny. He'll get up there." And
now,
I
why were you
there.
Funny? Why did she say that?
I was just how I was old just a spaz. I was like, probably, I was younger than sixth grade, so I was probably like 10.
That's also, Joe was on Rick James level drugs at 6 years
like
old.
Like Ritalin.
This story's crazy.
Like Rick James would have had like a heart attack.
One of his,
what?
Okay, so you got
just
up there.
So much
because when you said you were a spaz, I was like, I feel like spaz is constantly misdiagnosed. Like funny is, spaz is, and funny, I think, go hand in hand.
So when
sometimes.
I was, to give you an
I don't know how spazzy you were.
Joe's senior prom was in rehab.
Yeah, exactly. No, I
twice.
When I was
because they all forgot it
in kindergarten. This is how spazzy I was. I bashed a kid's head open with a block because he wouldn't get out. He wouldn't move out of my way. So I took a block and I just smashed his head open, cracked his head open.
Was it like
he went to the
in
hospital.
In line for the drinking fountain, or like what was it?
He was. He would not let me. He was building.
He was cutting
stuff.
In line Pizza Boat Friday.
So I remember exactly what it was. It's like so vivid. I could even, if you took me to that room, I could tell you exactly where it happened.
Oh, please do.
He had a giant block castle that he had made, and he didn't want me to walk around it. And so what I did is I grabbed one of the blocks and I just beat him over the head with it. And then I cracked his head open. He went to the hospital. My mom came to pick me up that day, and I remember jumping in her car, and she's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" I was just like, go. Like, I thought,
so dominant.
I thought I might pull it off, that I might have.
She goes like this, "Can you just call yourself Joe King from now on?" She changed your name that moment.
Yeah, so that his parents sued my parents. It was a fucking crazy.
There was a lawsuit.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't kill
also,
him.
His dad's a high-powered attorney.
Yeah.
Oh, and, so your dad had been dealing with blockheads.
His parents were also attorneys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was attorney on attorney.
It was attorney on attorney. Attorney. So they the attorneys turn their attorneys on each other.
The plot in this movie just is getting better and better.
The principal came to my parents and he said, "This fucking kid cannot come back to the school unless you put him on Ritalin." And Ritalin was
really?
Like, that was the principal's
like,
call?
Yeah, he's like, you
he should have Mr. Belding
he's
that
like,
shit.
He's like, you need to put him on Ritalin. And it was like a block from my
and
house.
And I sell it out of my trunk.
Like, well,
yeah. I've got 6 pills for 40 right now. You're not going to find a better deal. The PE teacher might tell you there's a better deal out there. We're all fucked up.
Yeah, we can swallow him, we can cut him, we can snort him, whatever.
That is a bold move by the principal. You're not licensed to do that, are you?
No, of course
Give out
not.
Medical
I mean, it was
suggestions?
The 80s, so people
Maybe
were
a, vice principal.
A little bit loose. He was an older man, you know. So
what was his name?
His name was Mr. Manasian. I actually gave an Uber ride
Manasian?
To his daughter, like,
oh my
30
God.
Years
I wish
later.
You were single.
30 years later, I gave an Uber ride to his daughter, and I told her, "I know. Are you related to so and so Manasian?" She goes, "Yes." I go.
Her last name said Manasia. You're like, "There's
call
only
him
one
right
Manasia."
Now. Call him right now. So she calls her. It's her granddad. So she calls her granddad. I get on the phone with him. I go, "Hey, dude, you remember when I bashed that kid's head in kindergarten?" And he goes, "I absolutely remember it. Yes,
this is
the
kid from the Beyond the Grave."
I go, okay, I'm sober now. I do stand up comedy. Like, it was
but
like,
I don't regret it.
But
why would he make me walk around with that tone?
Yeah, I didn't even think about the Ritalin thing until.
But you know what I'm saying? Like a principal, like my my buddy was a principal for three, four years in an elementary school, and the shit he would tell me he would have to like deal with, and he's the balance between the parents and right and wrong. A kid in an assembly stood up, big assembly, right, 1,000 kids, a musical assembly, stood up, and at one point just stood up, and they're asking him to sit down, pulled down his pants, and then started shaking his dick around, and went, and they kicked him out of the assembly. Because my buddy didn't know what to do. He just goes, but like, I think you can't be here anymore.
You got a standing ovation.
What I told my buddy is, I go, dude, first of all, you can't chastise this kid. Like, he probably was doing that shit in the bathroom and was like, I'm tired of playing open mics. I got to take this shit to Carnegie Hall. I got to fucking whip my dick around the assembly in front of every kid. Because this kid was laughing hysterically as he was doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this kid's a showman, you know? and so the dad comes in because he has to call the parents in. And the dad's sitting there and it was a very urban, like inner city, you know, and so he's dealing with shit on a daily basis of just like kids coming, the parents not being home and they go home from school for a week, like like crazy shit. And the dad comes in, he's like, and my buddy's like, Dwayne stood up and at the assembly, and dad was like, so what's going on? What are we doing here? What's in trouble? And I'm not doing a voice or paraphrasing. This is what my buddy did to me. It was an Italian guy. And no, a black dude. And so he's like, so what happened? What Dwayne do? And he's like, well, Mr. Jones, he stood up during the assembly, pulled down his pants. He's like, okay. And he's like, and exposed himself. And the dad says, did anybody get hurt?
Italian.
To which my buddy just goes, I mean, no. Not physically, maybe emotionally, like Scott, like this is a child's beat, like flaming on. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, well, you put it away when you called him out, right?
Was it LeVar Ball?
This is the start of the ball. Yeah. That's but anyway, amazing. but he was so like, he did not know how to handle that. So
that's how you create a kid like that.
Yeah.
Anybody get hurt? He goes, so now what do you think of the fam? Mad respect, right? Kid's fucking 10 years old with a 10, you know what I'm saying? He goes, my name is Chef Boyardee's Nuts. Italian black guy.
He was pissed that you guys weren't playing Mozart at that assembly, okay?
Yeah, that's
but that's a tough call for a principal. So for him to reprimand and say that, because I feel like that's a grounds for being expelled.
Yeah.
That's a police issue. At a certain point, the principal go, I just want to go home.
Yeah, I should have been like taken into custody at that. Like, right? Something crazy. But you know, taken into custody. I think that the whole teacher, principal, administrative staff being like walking on eggshells with the parents is that's like really picked up steam in the last like 15 to 20 years, where it's like now they got to be super safe. But back then, you still had these old school principals that were just like, get this fucking kid.
Again, there was no internet.
Yeah.
There was no real accountability.
Like they could step in and be like, You fucking get this kid out of my face. Yeah. What are you doing?
So you're about to step on stage your first time and your sister's...
Yeah, and I just did Mr. Muscle, like, flexing stuff, and it crushed.
And what age are you at this point?
I ripped my shirt off, and I was like, that's it.
Wait, Mr. Muscle... Stand up. Mr. Muscle what?
Like, I did, like, bodybuilder, like Hulk Hogan. I was really into WWE. I did the Hulk Hogan thing. I ripped my shirt, like, was flexing as super
I can't rip
hard.
My shirt off now, by the way. And, this is how high this kid was. Rip your shirt off? Even with holes, it's tough.
They're like, okay, ha, 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 that's funny. Yeah, they get scared of me.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
like veins pop it out.
And what age are you at this point?
I'm probably 10.
Oh, you're 10?
Yeah.
So you're 4 years into your addiction?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, dude, the bummer thing
addiction
is
on what?
I didn't really get the good drugs. Okay. Yeah, but the
tell
thing
the
is,
amount you're on. Go through the amounts.
Well, when this I was, they kept ramping it up because I kept getting in trouble. So it was like,
okay, so the block. So okay. So after the block,
they were
incident,
upping the dosages when he's
yeah,
getting in trouble.
Yeah, they just kept, and they just got to a point where I was just like this zombie is criminal. Kid. I mean, you know,
how many were you taking after the block incident?
Dude, I don't remember. I think okay, so 20 milligrams of Adderall. Right, so if you compare it to that, like 20 milligrams of Adderall, 20 milligrams of Ritalin are kind of the same. Everybody takes Adderall now, so that's like, that'll make sense to your listeners.
Yeah.
By the time I was in high school, I was on I had a prescription for 140 milligrams of
a day.
So if you took a 20
Seven
milligram
times more
Adderall,
than you should do.
It would be like, you would just be so
You remember I was just in Paris?
Blazed.
Yeah.
One of our co-people there gave me an Adderall. Because we were just going everywhere.
Yeah.
I stood up from a lunch, excused myself, walked over
all around Paris.
Yeah,
went over, to Denmark.
Yeah, went to a pharmacy. Go, I need an aspirin and water right now. I thought I was having a heart attack, and I one Adderall, and that shit is really strong.
And that was probably like a 20 milligram, and so I was taking like 7 of those
a day
throughout the day. Yeah.
Can you break down some of the other?
And I was still getting in trouble.
Yeah, well, that's what
so
I want to know.
ADHD is
what
strong.
Other after you block heads? Where do you go from there? Because that's your opener. Like, what's
I mean,
your...
there was some you know, I feel like twirling my penis around. Okay. I did a few of those.
Yeah,
you know, calls
very
to my parents.
Penis-centric on an upper.
Yeah,
because it's up. It's like, dude, we're both.
It was
up.
Just like,
let's go. We're a team now.
But it's an easy go to when you're a little boy because you're like, I whip my penis out. Everybody screams. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's 100%.
It's your Shamu tail splashing people with water.
It's your closer. It's your closer every time. Yeah,
you're
so
like, everyone get out of the splash.
It's a Bill Clinton impression in the 90s, you know?
It's yeah, always so gonna win. I was just, you know, when I was younger, it was like getting in fights, like hitting kids, like just being that crazy. And then when I got older, it just was, you know,
mayhem.
Just being the class clown, being obnoxious. I once, I used to do this thing. I had this high school teacher who had glaucoma, so he couldn't see very well. So he would stand in the back of
God.
He would sit in the back of the class and then show us biology films, right? And I would cut out, this is like in eighth grade, I would cut out penis shadow puppets, and then I would stand in front of the projector and put them in like people's mouths.
You had them on the ready?
As they, I would just cut them out, and I put them in people's mouths, and he couldn't see because he was in the back. Then we had a substitute teacher. I did it. I got caught. I remember going into the principal, and he was reading the referral and just like hysterically, I was like, dude, it was really funny, bro. He's like, I gotta suspend you. I was like, it was really funny. He's like, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
I still
that's
still
big. That's him acknowledging.
Yeah. No, I remember that to this day.
That'd have been great if one day with this glaucoma teacher, like, you brought a joint to class, smoked it before it, then he saw it.
Yeah,
like, what motherfucker? I can see that now.
Yeah, just
penis
like
puppets.
Slipped him an edible. So the
amount, the dosage gets upped, and your parents have no problem with this. They're just like,
you know,
this is the right move. Yeah,
my dad was working as an attorney, and my mom, she was just doing the best she could dealing with this fucking.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not even their fault. It was just I was.
She's also
out
probably
of control.
Popping him. If I brought that shit
I
home,
was fucking.
Yeah.
If my kid brought that home, like, two for
you're
you,
like,
one for me. You should do it with
them this together.
Do it with the juice box, kid. You love it.
Yeah, so they were just trying to do the best
what
they could.
What a bunch
of
idiots.
When doctors,
not your
no. Yeah. When the doctors are telling, and by the way, like at this point during the like 90s, 80% of the kids in classes are like on fucking, they're giving it to every fucking little boy that's like even mildly aggressive or crazy. So anyways.
Couldn't open a milk box to go, okay, retard, here's an Adderall. You can open it with your teeth, you piece of shit.
They were that quick to like assess and yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, you remember I got in trouble drinking at the Comedy Store one time and you got mad at me. You weren't like, next time try 7 drinks. Up the dosage, you idiot. You didn't do it up. Your problem was moderation.
Yeah.
Like, these people are retarded.
Yeah.
I taught for 7 years. I would never have given any of the kids Adderall.
You would never have done that if they got in trouble.
They couldn't afford it.
It's insane.
No, it's insane.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your creative writing is down. Here's acid. You know, I mean, it's just like giving an illicit drug to a child never makes sense.
So so what is the, what's the peak of it? How does it, I mean, it builds and builds.
Well,
the
dosage.
Sniffing glue.
Yeah, it builds and builds until I eventually I got my hands on this stuff called Dazoxin, which was pharmaceutical grade methamphetamine.
It's basically elephant cum after they ate a leopard.
It's like Breaking Bad, you know, blue ice level, just the best speed you could ever get. And so I found that in high school because I used to read, started getting into pills, and I used to read the physician's desk reference.
What is that?
It's a
it's like the Beckett
like
for trading
Bible.
Cards.
Yeah, it's the Beckett for pills.
Yeah,
remember the Beckett when it told you how much a Barry Bonds was worth?
Trending up. This dioxin is trending up.
Yeah. So I got on that, and that was the road to hell because it was just so fucking good, and I just did. So
you felt
good.
You felt good.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, Ritalin never made me feel good. It would just like make me zombify. Ritalin is fucking weird. It turns.
So they gave you that to balance out your spazziness. Is that and that's basically what they were.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point,
they thought it would
point,
like, it would take you from 50 to 30, And then
at a certain point they were just giving it to me so I could sit in class and not disrupt the other kids because I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah,
I was never good at school. I was
just up and down all the places.
And there's no separate book because now they have like assisted like learning, like the same like assisted living facilities. They have like a portable where they're like, send the fucking kid, we can't say his last name. Send him that portable.
At one point, I think in junior high, they're like, all right, we're gonna put him in special education. Because there was a really good special education.
He's going to teach it. He's high as fuck.
So they went to
through 5 subjects in 2 hours.
So they go to this meeting, and the teachers come in, and they go, he can't come in here. He makes fun of all the kids in the special education. And then they started naming the kid. They go, what about Ian? I go, come on, Ian. Ian's my boy. And then they started naming all these fucking kids. Then I was like teasing, but they were all my friends. They were letting me.
Now, were they special ed? They were all really like.
No, I mean, it was like they had levels.
Yeah.
There was levels. There was the ones that just like, it was like they were playing ball. And then there was other ones. They were still trying to teach him to read. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, this guy could maybe hold
it. And then
there
was you. You were like, I'll use a quadratic formula to tell you the capital of Florida. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A beautiful mind over here.
So, anyways, there was that.
He shows up. The guy goes, 4.5 hours of Vegas. Best time I'll ever have. He's got enough money for a Greyhound bus ticket.
But you know what's funny is that once I started smoking weed in high school, that's actually when I
mellowed out. Down.
I mellowed out.
Wow.
And it wasn't the weed. It was more just...
The girl who sold it to him used to jerk him off.
Yeah, exactly.
He taking
also took the edge off. Wait, but so the you were still popping pills in high school?
Well, they were still trying to give me the medication, but I was slowly not taking the medication.
At this point, he's taking Snoopies, Tweety Birds, Patty Pancakes.
Yeah, the Goof Troop. Now, what was the...
The Tweeties, the pills, the reds, blues.
What was dinozetram? What was it?
It was diazepam.
Diazepam.
Yeah, it could have been.
You weren't taking that in high school anymore.
No, not diazepam. Sorry, that's Valium. It was Zoxyn. I didn't start taking that till I was out of high school, and I realized like, oh, I can get high off these medications that they're willing to prescribe me. So then I asked them for Zoxyn, and then it was just like, then I was just a fucking tweaker. But when I was in high school, once I smoked weed, it kind of made me. You know how you have that thing where you realize like, oh, there's like a different space of consciousness I can inhabit than this sort of
because
like
you still need
lizard
to get...
brain operation that I'm doing currently, and it
still gave you a high because you weren't going to just get off of that.
And it's just a stimulant technically.
At this point, like once you go on that Ritalin path, your body was like connected to some sort of an extra level, right? You needed that, right?
Yeah.
So totally. The only way to get off pills was to find something else.
Yeah, and I think also just weed just chilled me out because I realized like, oh, like you don't have to. There's like. I don't have to take everything so seriously. You know, I mean, not that I was taking it seriously.
And you knew more people that did it probably,
changes
right?
Changes your brain.
How many other people did fucking...
Weed?
Dunkaroos. What was it? What were you doing? Dinopasm?
Dinopasm.
What is it? No, what was it? I want to know what it is. It just is a very...
It was Dizoxin.
Yeah, who else is doing that? You can't bond over that. There's no Dinoxin parties, right?
Dinoxin.
Here's another big red
flag.
You'll
never fucking get it right, bro.
What is it? Dinoxin? Fucking Richard Gere. What is it?
You're giving up after 2 letters at this point. You're that guy.
This is the couch in the office of drugs. It's a huge red flag. If you can't pronounce the drug, you shouldn't take it.
Yeah.
I can't repeat what you just said. I don't know what you said.
Oh no, you get really good at Dizoxin.
Dizoxin. Okay, now I'm in.
Yeah,
They produce that in Zizix on the way to Vegas. And that's a lot of continents.
So who introduces you to weed? And what was the first time you smoked? And I smoked, and I smoked, and I want to hear it.
Actually, some dudes. There was only 2 black dudes at my high school, and I went to them to buy weed because they listened to hip hop. So I would talk to them about hip hop.
Awesome.
And they were like, "Hey Joe, we have weed. Do you want to buy some weed?" Like, you know, and I was like, fuck yeah, dude, Dr. Dre, The Chronic, whatever. Fuck yeah, bro. And they sold me these joints. They sold me a bunch of joints. They sold me one joint for $30, and it was leaves. It was like, it was all leaves.
Start
like,
to
it
smoke.
Wasn't even weird. So I smoked that whole joint. I didn't get high. And then I went to a friend's house.
Don't be high your first time either, though. But I believe it was leaves.
And then I remember going to a buddy's house. I smoked some chronic.
Yeah.
Smoked a bong load, and he goes, hey man, I don't know if you don't feel it now, but eventually you might feel it. And I remember walking through his house, and I went to this window. I looked out the window, and these 2 girls I went to high school with were in bikinis washing one of their cars.
What?
And I just sat there baked for like 45 minutes watching it. And some guy came sat next to me. We just stood there for maybe another half hour. For like an hour and 15 minutes, we just watched. And then that was when, it was like at the end of that, I was like, I'm fucking stoned, dude.
Yeah.
Because this was the most entertaining thing that I had ever seen.
I wish I was SpongeBob SquarePants right now.
Yeah, it was like the greatest show of all. I was just like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened. But I didn't realize I was you know how it's like you got to like have some, there's like a space you like kind of pull back from. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm baked. Well, I'm baked, but you maybe don't realize it right at first.
Oh, the first time I did it, I didn't realize how, so, something has to happen that kind of makes you see what just happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you go, oh shit, that was really dumb of me, or I can't believe I did that, or whoa, you react to that thing after it's almost like a mirror is held up to your face. Like, I went home, first time I smoked, it was, you know, well, first time was high school, but it barely, it's like sophomore year. I took a hit of a joint, but again, didn't feel anything, but it had a lot of energy. So I also think I probably just got excited because I did it, and I was just like, I'm super high, but like nothing really happened. And then freshman year of college, I went back home to Seattle and I smoked with some buddies and went back home. And my mom, of course, you know, always makes so much food when I go back home and has it around. And she made a big thing of spaghetti and meatballs.
She knew it was coming out.
Well, she had a big thing of spaghetti and meatballs. And I get home and it's one of the things I met up with all my buddies from high school.
Yeah.
And she starts going, and she's up, she goes, how was it? She goes, and it's like four in the morning. She wakes
terrifying.
Up, she's sleeping on the couch, and I go, fine, good. She goes, who did you see? Just more and more questions. I go, oh, you know, Ben, John, Evan. She goes, how's Evan? I go, face for Evan. She goes, he's Evan? Says it back to me, and I hear myself. I go, I just said he's Evan. And she goes,
ho, 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 Santa Claus here. The holidays, well, they're just around the corner. And if you still have names on your list, you've quit being a bastard. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. I found this custom pet portrait blanket. That's a mouthful. That's what she said. Yeah, you send in a pic of your dog and they print it in a cozy blanket. They put it on a blanket. It's genius. I got one for my mom with her dog Gus on it, and she cried. She cried so much I cried. Gus barked. It was a huge hit. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses, which rules. You also get to give something cool and support the people who made it. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year that you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/about. That's uncommongoods.com/about for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Guys, Adam Ray here. And look, we all have those nights where your brain just won't shut up. You're lying there in bed thinking about that awkward thing you said to your gym teacher in 2012, or maybe that thing that your mom's best friend said to you and you didn't know how to respond, or if your dog knows that you love him as much as you say you do. I've been there. And recently, I found something that's actually been helping me chill out. CBD FX. They've been around since 2014. They're one of the OGs of the CBD world, and everything they make is clean, organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no sketchy chemicals, just pure good vibes. I've been really digging their CBD plus CBN calming tincture. I take it before bed, and I swear it's like hitting the off switch for all that late night brain noise. I've also tried their mixed berry gummies, which taste incredible. It's not like medicine. It's more like something you actually want to eat, you know, and you just feel more balanced, more chill and laid back, maxing all cool shootings and b-ball outside of the school. Whether you want calm focus, better sleep, or just overall wellness in your life, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my ALN listeners get 40% off your first order with promo code AboutLastNight at CBDFX.com. That's CBDFX.com with promo code AboutLastNight to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Did you ever hit that moment in life when you realize I'm out of contacts? Not weird, sketchy people from your past in your phone. I'm talking about the times in your life where you're like, dude, could it get any worse? I'm digging up old glasses I haven't worn in years just to try to see my future. Well, don't stress about it, because your next pair is always on the way from 1-800-CONTACTS. I order mine online. They deliver the exact contacts from my doctor that he prescribes, or she, and I can even renew my prescription from home with their express exam. It takes less than 10 minutes, and I get a doctor-issued prescription without ever leaving my house. It rules! Fast, free shipping if you need them even faster. They have next-day teleport shipping. And look, they've been in the business for over 30 years, millions of contacts in stock, unbeatable
unbeatable customer service and a best price guarantee. If you find that your contacts are cheaper elsewhere, dude, they will match it and even cover everything from strong prescriptions to astigmatism. So you know that you're getting exactly what you need. That's a big word. Sorry, it took me a second to process. Free returns, free torn lens replacements, and 24/7 support make it easy and stress-free. If you hate running out of contacts or dealing with appointments every time that you're low, dude, 1-800-CONTACTS is the solution. You get the same contacts that your doctor prescribes delivered right to your door. Getting contacts doesn't have to be a hassle. Let 1-800-CONTACTS get you the contact lenses you need right now. Order online at 1-800-CONTACTS.com or download the free 1-800-CONTACTS app today.
And then she goes, like, who else was there? And I'm like, yeah. Fuck, bitch. Like, goddamn. Like, I'm like, Alan, Jess.
It wasn't Watergate, ma.
Yeah. She goes, how's Alan? I go, he was there.
And
then
Alan.
And then she just goes, and I'm making food. I go, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm tired. I just want to make some food and go to bed. Can you just, enough of the questions. She goes, okay, fine. And then I make a giant plate of spaghetti meatballs, like as big, as if like the world's ending.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they, and they came on the news and was like, get you all the meatballs and spaghetti you can because shit's hitting the fan. I didn't mean that to rhyme, but it did. You know, and so I make this giant plate. I put it in the microwave and I go sit down on the couch next to her. She goes, and I lay down on the couch. Just, I'm like, I need to lay down, and I just didn't want to go upstairs, and I wanted my food's right there, and I lay down, and then she's kind of like, you know, she's like, all right, Mom, you had a good time. I go, Mom, can you stop talking? And then about 5-10 minutes goes by, and she just goes, are you gonna, and then she walks over to the, into the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, fuck, don't fuck with my fucking meatballs, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just hear her go, you didn't turn the microwave on. So I just made a giant plate of spaghetti meatballs and put it in the microwave and then laid down. And she goes, and then I tried to commit to that and I go, oh, I thought you got the microwave that just recognizes the food. She goes, what? And then I go, I'm hot. And I went up, no, I said, well, in my head. And I go, I'll just eat breakfast tomorrow. And I went upstairs and I left it. I was like, I can't deal with it anymore. But that was what stood out to me. I go,
yeah.
Oh, I put it in the microwave, didn't turn it on. She called me out for it. I go, okay, I'm too fucked up to be here.
Yeah, there is something about when you have to deal with your parents. It's the level of intensity that if you had like 500 pounds of cocaine in your car and you're talking to the border patrol.
Absolutely. Has that happened to you?
Just having to talk to my parents.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one time my friend got caught shoplifting. He got arrested. We were super baked. And we walked out.
What were you shoplifting? Just snacks?
I'm so embarrassing. We were stealing.
It'd be great if shoplifting a shopping cart.
No, we were stealing cologne.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's eighth grade? Polo Fort?
It was
Curve,
Nautica.
Tommy Hilfiger?
Nautica.
Yeah, close.
It was Nautica. And we were stealing cologne. I didn't do it. I was too baked. Luckily, the weed saved me. I put it back down. They apparently told him, hey, we were watching your friend. We saw him pick it up, put it back down. We were going to get him too. So I got out of that. We walk out, but they arrest him. And then we're like, fuck, dude, what do we do? And he's crying. He's like, hey, guys, help me. Can you call my parents? We're all, fuck, no. You're not fucking calling anybody, bro.
This is the Three Musketeers, motherfucker.
Yeah. So we go, let's just go smoke more weed. And then we go smoke more weed.
We got what to do.
And I'm over at my friend's house. And my parents call, my dad calls.
What age
my
are you?
Friend's house. We were probably 15.
He cried at 15 getting caught? What a bitch.
Yeah, he cried so
I don't
so
respect
hard,
this
dude.
Guy now.
He called.
Don't ever bring me around this guy.
But he was so baked, he called. Apparently called my dad and told them that he had gotten arrested. Hey, to come. Because my dad was the only lawyer he knew.
That'd be great, too, if he called your dad. He's like, first and foremost, put some brownies in the oven.
Meatballs, spaghetti.
Make sure you hit start on the microwave.
He starts with this line, shit's hitting the fan. Grab all the spaghetti and meatballs that you can. I heard that somewhere one time.
He called, wait, so he thought your dad would help him get out of an attempted
out of
theft?
Out of the Macy's jail.
Yeah.
That
we had a 15-year-old still in Nautica.
Like a fucking
5-7
wig.
For life.
Yeah. So anyways, he came in, my dad, we had forgotten, right? We had totally forgotten our friend had gotten arrested. So we're just sitting in my friend's
house. You forgot?
Yeah, we completely forgot. We're fucking baked as shit. And then we get this call.
I smoked a lot of weed. I wouldn't forget that.
And this dude, and it's my dad on the answering machine.
Make sure hold this up right in front
of
you.
Oh,
yeah.
It's my dad on the answering machine being like, Joe, give me a fucking call back. I don't know where you are. You need to call me back right now. Which is
parents
the worst.
Get pumped like this.
Yeah, I know. Dude, how many times, real quick tangent, how many times have you seen your parents, step parents, like real fired up?
Yeah.
I've seen my dad and stepdad both, maybe only twice ever. Stepdad
yelling at me once for some shit. So I'm fired up. And then saw my dad when a buddy of mine was drunk and tried to like put him in a friendly headlock. My dad said, "Get the fuck off me." As a 72-year-old man, it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And after my buddy had been pushing his buttons too. Like we were in Arizona on spring training. That's I won't say his name. He listens to the pod, but he you know who you are, motherfucker. But he sent a very sweet email back to my dad. And my dad was over it in 2 seconds, but my buddy's just, you know.
Well, you look at your
married
dad,
with two kids. Yeah. He was on the road on vacay. He was and he's such a fun-loving dude.
I know what you're talking
and
about.
He had a couple drinks.
Oh my God.
And he was really, and he's a ball buster, but like you got to feel people out. Hey man, you ain't best friends with my dad. Like you can't just ball bust you know,
your
a
dad's
veteran
every inch of 72.
Yeah, and the thing is with old men is they think they're as tough as the toughest they ever were.
Yeah, right.
Like 25, 50 pounds heavier. In their mind, they still kick ass like
also,
that.
Also, he's been in the war, so doing open heart surgeries. He fucking lived with my mom. Like he's been through some shit, you know. And he just, you know, and he's so he's really. And now my buddy's like, you know, and pushing his buttons, and then a little, you know. And my dad yelled, push, and like did almost did this fucking like as if he was like an offensive lineman, like getting out of a fucking
swim
like
move.
Yeah, swim move, and shoved him off. And I thought he was gonna square up. And
that'd be great,
anyway,
man.
So
I love that.
So when you hear your folks get pumped up, like you know, you're probably
it's the
you're
worst
terrified.
Thing you could ever hear. It's yeah, when you're that stoned. I mean, I was...
Oh, that. Take that into consideration.
I was so fucking scared. And it also meant I had to drive my car, and I had just ripped like three bong loads, and
oh
my friend
God.
Was playing me Frampton Comes Alive. I was just in the... I was in a good space. And now I'm in hell.
Buzzkill. Yeah, your dad comes in hot.
And so I have to
I need
drive
a quick callback. I need a dad callback.
And I literally drove home thinking he knew that I had smoked weed, and that's why he was calling. It wasn't until I got home that he goes... Michael got fucking arrested and you didn't call or tell anybody about it. And then I was like, oh yeah, Michael got arrested. Okay. This has nothing to do with me. And that was just relief.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had called my dad and I guess they didn't talk. They didn't talk the whole ride home. My dad,
your dad
came,
got him?
My dad came and picked him up. They got in the car. Drove home. He drove him home.
Just,
my dad didn't say one fucking word.
The
to him
whole the car just smelled like Trackhard Noir. Your dad's like, it wasn't even good cologne.
Yeah, that's his one qualm.
Yeah.
Have you ever? What was the first time you smoked pot? Was it back in Albany?
Yes. I don't know if I remember the exact first time. It was just like you guys. I didn't get high the first time.
Yeah.
So then I got high like the third time. I remember my friend who had started smoking way earlier because his parents were like Jehovah's Witness and they abandoned him. He lived with his grandmother upstairs.
Everybody knew in middle school or high school, like the kid who like was like smoked or drank with his parents.
Yeah.
And you were
envious
back then because you're like, you're so cool. Like, I wish I got high. And then, you know, you meet him like now and you're like, oh, dude, you're still fucking bagging groceries at Costco. He's like, I know, man, but I still get fucked up with my folks. You're like, hell yeah. Is it Devin? Dayson. I knew it was some weird name that isn't a name,
Dayson.
You know?
Yeah.
And
what is it about
Jason and Dave? I combined them. Oh, you changed your name? Yeah, man.
The parents got in a big fight over the name. That's how kids get banned too. Like they start fighting over the name. The name is Dayson. Dave Jason.
Dave Jason. Yeah. They got in a fight when they were all fucked up and he was like, "Don't I get any say in this?" And they go, "Shut up, Dave." She goes, "It's Jason."
Yeah. That relationship ended with a diaper hitting the fucking wall and a guy being like, "I'm fucking out of here. I told you to get an abortion." 3 years later, that kid's smoking weed.
The dad walks out though, but he says, "Don't you change that fucking channel." Like he wants his show to stay on when if he does come back.
And he also,
making weird demands when he leaves.
Yeah, he also does it to Frampton's Come Alive. That's like the soundtrack of just shitty things happening.
It is?
I don't know. So,
all right, so you're with your buddy's buddy.
Upstairs, he lives with his grandmother. He has no parents. The grandma's downstairs. She's a Jehovah's
Oblivious.
Witness. Oblivious, in denial. And she'd also be like, "You shouldn't be smoking weed." He'd be like, "Shut the fuck up." She's like, "Okay."
Oh, God.
It was bad.
He would say that to the grandma?
He was just a fucking jerk.
Oh, God.
So
cursing at old ladies makes me so sad.
Yeah. Like, it does, but you also have to realize that she didn't deserve it. She was so sweet.
Of course she didn't deserve it.
I swear to God.
Mark's like, but some of them.
But Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate a single holiday, so he got no birthday gifts, no Christmas, no nothing. So he was filled with rage, and he had no parents, so he had nothing fun.
Oh.
He would literally, when she would try to keep her money and he wanted to go out, he would step on the air hose to her smoke ventilator and be like, "I'll step off when I get the $20.
Wow.
It was bad.
Oh.
Yeah, totally. I was like, "Ask for 40 next time, you piece of shit." That did not happen.
Know your worth.
Like, this could actually wind up, our friendship ended when actually he stole a bunch from me. He's just a piece of shit. So, but I got high with him first time. So they're playing video games. They go, "You need to do bong hits if you're going to get high." So I go, "Oh, I'll take a bong hit." I remember like taking a couple. And then all of a sudden, I was standing up across the room. Then I was standing on the other side of the room. Then I was on the bed laughing. Then I was falling off the bed. Then I just was like, it was constant, like, jump cut, jump cut, jump cut, jump cut. Then all of a sudden, we're at a Denny's, and we're here. And so then I was like, I did enjoy it, though. But then, like, my third or fourth times, because I was on the football team. We're all jocks, whatever.
Yeah.
And especially up there where everyone's, like, Italian. We had all this shit. And back then, weed was considered crack cocaine. End of story. So, you know my friend Bobby Fish, who's a wrestler?
Yes.
So at the time, he was vehemently opposed to weed. Now he's smoked a couple times. I'm sure he's talked about it on podcasts. So he's sitting there watching me take a bong hit. We're at my friend's house, and he's staring at me. And we're best friends at this point. Like, you know how close you can be with someone in high school? You stay at his house every day.
Yep.
Actually, no, we're freshmen in college now. And so he's looking at me. He's like, so you just, this is who you are now? I was like, I don't know. I kind of like it. He's like, yeah, okay. All right. He just fucking dives at me. Tackles me into a coffee table. The coffee table breaks on our back. We get in a gnarly fist fight. He stands, I mean gnarly, I mean punch, blow after blow. He's like, you've ruined your whole life, you crackhead, blah, blah, blah. We're rolling. I end it with a fish hook somehow, because he's a big ass motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
He stands up, he cries, he runs out of the house. Now we can't find him. Because he was drinking. We found him the next morning in the neighbor's van. He crawled in the van, and we're both just like, sorry, dude. He's like, don't worry about it. And he just drove home. And years later, he tried weed. He didn't like that I smoked.
But, yeah.
But now it's I think it's, you know.
That's such a high school guy thing, too, to be like, I got to save my friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be so brave.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, did you have, yeah. Who were, are you still buddies with your high school buddies?
Yeah, a lot of my high school friends.
And they weren't on pills and stuff either.
No, I mean, I think that's what kept me from dying.
Yeah,
is that like I didn't know anyone who did
drugs.
Yeah,
what was your rock bottom before you went to rehab?
Oh, dude, it was like 2 years of rock bottom.
I'm sure.
I mean, well, I got, there was one time where I got fucked up after a college test. I got super drunk and fucked up on pills, and I went out on my friend's balcony while he was playing guitar, and there's all these people, and I started dancing for them. It was like the Vans. It was like some corporate park, and there's like
dancing for the pills.
There's like ten people out there smoking
cigarettes.
What was
your dance move?
I was just fucking doing like a striptease, stripped completely naked. They're fucking cheering. Taking pictures, like cheering me on. And then at one point, it was a third floor apartment. I got off on the balcony, was holding myself like this, dangling my dick off the balcony.
Oh, Jesus, dude.
And then
this is the start of fried green tomatoes.
And then I got back, went into the apartment, and they were just like standing ovation,
yeah.
Crushed. They loved it. And then I basically went back inside, and at some point, maybe like 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's like, open up, it's police. My friend's like, Joe, fucking stay here. And I'm like,
police what?
I'm like, no.
No, man, that's not a name. Is this Dason?
Yes. Yeah, so they go, police, open up. He's like, Joe, stay here. I'm like, nah, dude, I got it, dude. I totally got it. And of course, I walk outside, and they go, can you step outside? And I step outside. They immediately put me in cuffs.
Yeah.
And I'm
wait, so
in
your pants
boxers.
Still. Okay, yeah.
I'm in boxers and sandals, and they go.
That's an arrestable look, by the way.
And, yeah,
every guy on Cops has been in boxers and/or sandals.
It's the perfect.
No shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
want
my feet.
No shirt.
Yeah, you're wearing the
boxers.
Arrest wardrobe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
they're like, oh, good. Okay, great.
This season,
perfect.
When you're getting arrested, when you're getting cuffed, make sure you're wearing these boxers and these sandals.
Yeah, you're not passing go in boxers and sandals. You're going directly to.
You're not collecting anything.
And yeah, so they fucking took me in, and I asked them, hey, can you give me some clothes? Can I, you know, put on some clothes?
Yeah.
And they said, have your friend go get you some clothes. So my friend didn't want me to give me his clothes because he didn't want his clothes going to jail. So he gave me his girlfriend's running shorts. Remember those ones? You know those ones that have the little V?
You got,
they have the little V. Yeah, exactly. The Richard Simmons running shorts and a bright yellow Brazil soccer jersey.
You get to jail, you're like, come on, everybody, we can do it. We can lose some weight. Believe in yourself.
You start dancing for more pills. Anybody got anything left?
So I'm sitting in that jail cell, and it's freezing fucking cold. I mean, it's like a...
It's so, you know, cold in jail, isn't it?
Dude,
nobody
it's
tells
like,
you that.
It's like, you know, the
nobody
the
says,
milk,
bring a sweater.
It's no. Like the milk area
no
in Costco.
In
have you ever gone to the milk area or the produce section in Costco?
What
it's
a
like
great
that
way to describe prison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The milk area in Costco, it is fucking freezing there.
Yeah. It's so fucking
cold. It's always so cold. Yeah, and you're always like, that's why when it's like, you know, anytime, now that I'm just thinking about it, when I would go to Costco with my mom and she's like, all right, I'm going to get some bread and some shrimp and you get some snacks. And then, and if you want to go grab some milk. And I was like, well, come with me. No, fuck that. You know?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go to that aisle.
No one wants to go in the milk aisle. Yeah. So I was in there and I passed out. Okay. Passed out. I'm by myself in this cell. I go, all right, I'm gonna wake up and they're going to let me out. And by the way, the police officer said, hey, dude, he goes, do you know that like you could have been charged with a sex crime? And I go, no, dude, like what? And
I stuck the landing.
He goes, don't worry. They're not going to charge you. I go, man, I was just, they were laughing. They were having a good time. He goes, I know. They said it was hilarious, but they were worried you were going to die. Yeah. And they called the cops. They thought you were going to fall.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's why they called the cops. They're like, hey, this guy's drunk. Like, he's cool, but he's gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. That's what kept me from getting charged with basically like indecent exposure.
Yeah, that's always
some
fucked
shit.
Up because there's kids down in PB that get caught pissing in public and it's up to them to decide if they get put on a sexual predator website.
Or like people streak in college and weird shit. Yeah. You know, I was like 21. It's just fucking stupid. But
no sexual predators wearing a PBR hat and happy hour.
This isn't Weinstein level. Yeah, exactly. Wow, so I wake up in this jail and I wake up to probably the gnarliest diarrhea sound I've ever, like a dude is basically dying on the toilet. And I turn around, there's
in the toilet,
45
like,
what is it about that?
Illegal immigrants standing over me and I'm the only bench. I'm completely laid out, passed out, and they're all standing up. They raided a camp in somewhere in San Diego, arrested all the illegal immigrants, put them in the jail cell with me. They're just standing around. One dude he's sick and he's like right next to my head. So I wake up and they're just standing over me and I'm sleeping. I'm like, hey, you could sit here. And so anyways, that's how
Your first time in jail, you're immediately, fuck, I've only been arrested one time, but within 1 second, like they open the door and I look over. And there's just a black guy running for toilet paper that's rolling across the floor. So my first vision is just a big black dick with balls.
Yeah.
And a fucking guy like, shit, got away from me, dog. And then fucking like guy's like, oh, what the fuck? And then it's like, I look in the corner, the toilet wasn't flushing. So it's filled with shit. I go, God. This is going to be a
And no one
day.
Has any shame. It's like, it doesn't. I remember looking at the dude and he looked me right in the eyes as he was shitting. And he just went like this.
Yeah.
Like he just gave me that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, what? Oh, sorry. Sorry, bro.
That's all,
you
know? Folks. Yeah.
You just offer him a spot.
Yeah.
I mean, you need a spot, dog? You need help up? We doing hack squats? What are you doing here?
Yeah, but it's scary. And then they were like rotating in people from jail. And I remember one guy came in and he goes, hey, you. And he stood up and he walked. And he was in the yellow orange scrubs. And he walked over and he's like, hey, you. He's like, no. And he came over and he goes, your name's Tannen? Or said some fucking crazy name. I go, no, it's Joe. He's like, oh, okay. And just walked away. I was like, this
way,
is when I die.
Yeah, to me, that I feel like that's 67% of prison. Is guys thinking other? It's like a
absolutely.
Big. It's like a big Buffalo Wild Wings at 12:45 before it closes at 1. Guys coming in, getting a little too sauced up, a little too aggro and being like, are you tanning?
Yeah.
I'm Jeff. All right, chill.
You said you pick up the tab. You took off, dog. Yeah.
Guys accusing guys or assessing. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Tannen and then what did Tannen do? Doesn't that make you care? I mean, you're relieved
that
you're not
best friends. I don't know if they were mortal enemies.
There's so many stories that are unresolved in prison.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's also when you're getting thrown in jail now, like back then you knew phone numbers. You get thrown in jail now, they take your phone.
You're fucked.
You got to call your childhood best friend. Like, yo, Jeff still live there? No.
Yeah. Are you still 206-363-363?
Yeah. And so I remember when I was in there too, just not.
You do get one phone call, huh?
You get actually, there's a phone in there with the shortest cord ever. It's like 4 inches long. So you make a phone call with your head like up against the dirtiest wall ever.
Right.
And so then you just start calling bonds people and you finally get someone on the phone in the middle of the night. And you're like, hi, Betty. She's like, I know where you are. I don't know who you are, but I'll come get you. You're like, thank God. She's like, I'll be there in 7 hours. She's like, okay.
Oh, God.
So finally she comes and gets you too. I remember, also, they don't pick up the first time, they pick up like the 30th time. So I remember when she finally picked up, I was joking around. I looked around and go, yo, any of you guys mind if I use you as a reference on a job right now?
Did one guy oblige?
Yeah, people were laughing. Then there's one guy in there too. Like,
is there a good like rapport in prison?
Fuck no.
No. The thing you like pick up on is how many people are in jail just because they're
You've got
dumb,
2 hours to get a tattoo
stupid.
Or you're dead.
Yeah.
Also, I remember Then there's two. The only job in prison to do, I realize, is because you want to cry. Like, you're just like, I fucked up. I know my life has been out of control lately. And all of a sudden, you're in the place that lets you know that you're about to spend a ton of money. You don't know the outside world at all. You're around a bunch of very dangerous people, so you want to cry, but your only job is to not cry. Because there was one guy who started crying to his wife, and he was in pajamas. And I remember his opening sentence, he goes, I fucked up again.
Dude, I cried like crazy on the way to the...
And you're watching this guy being like, don't be that guy.
But he knew a comedian friend of ours. He knew, I want to say it was like Brent Morin or something. And then we got talking. He was in Tweety Bird Footy.
I fucked up.
What do you put on your feet? I don't even know because I'm a man.
Footy.
What are those called?
Footsies.
Footsies? What do you keep on your feet? Amanda, what do you put on your feet? The warm, comfortable thing. Not
slipper?
Socks. Slipper. He was in Tweety Bird slippers.
Wait. Let's go back. I don't know what slippers are called because I'm a man.
I've never put on any slipper on my foot. Would you respect yourself if you looked up like, got the slippers on? Not once ever.
I guess they are a woman thing.
I wouldn't go home and see my dad if I wore them.
Well, see, I know my stepdad has house shoes, he calls them, which are basically men's slippers.
Yeah, absolutely. But your dad's not a butcher from upstate. He's Italian. He would find out I wore them, like, I heard you wore slippers. You're cut out of the will. Your gay brother's back in. So he's in pajamas, slippers.
Shit.
I go, what happened here? Why are you back? He goes, I got a DUI 8 years ago. And I was at home on the couch watching the game. I want another six pack. He goes, I drove 2 blocks and got a DUI. So he was just on the couch and then all of a sudden in jail. You know, he's like a straightforward dude.
Oh my God.
Damn. I cried like crazy on the way there.
You did?
I did. And I remember trying to.
You were 15 though?
No. 19? Dude, I was 21. Oh, 21. I was crying on the way there and I thought I could talk my way out of it. I told the cop, I go, my dad's a Navy SEAL and he beats me. I don't know why that popped in my head. I go, and he beats me and that's why I do drugs. And then he didn't say a word to me. And right as we were pulling into the station, he goes, you're going to want to stop crying now.
That's awesome. These are good cops. They also, like, when you shut the door and he went in there, the two cops were like, love that kid. Dancing naked, doing his thing.
Oh, yeah.
Crying for no reason.
Because you're a harmless criminal. They see some shit. You're, like, you're flip-flopping
around. No, they didn't
charge
me with anything. I didn't even get a drunk in public.
You're going to want to stop crying. I ripped these. When I got arrested, I ripped the cops just apart.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course you did.
Do you think every... Yeah. And I bet you did it well and articulately, and I bet they thought about what you said. You're good at that. You're good. When you're a straight shooter and direct and you're fired up and you're like, this needs to be said.
Yeah. They hit on the girl I was with. They were like, because they were both Asian and she was Asian, and they were pissed that I was white. And I was like, and then when I got the car, I go, she'll never fuck you. Because she's like, why would you hang out with a guy like this who would fucking drink and get behind the wheel? I looked at him, I go, she got the last round of shots, assholes. I go, fucking don't act like I'm a danger to her. This girl's a fucking... Yeah, anyway, so she's a disaster. And so then I go, I was like, she would never fuck you. I go, just so you know, I go, I saw you hitting on her and ask her for her phone number. I go, as soon as I'm out of here, I'm going to eat her pussy. And they were so angry. I was livid.
Yeah.
Because they were just like, and it was also like, fucking, obviously I'm talking.
And what are they going to do? You can't arrest somebody for talking shit, right? Can you?
I'm talking about.
That's what I was going to ask. Like,
I'm talking about a fucking, obviously they try to give me a DUI. And then they, they're like, you have to blow into it. And I had one drink and one shot because she came to the end of the show in downtown San Diego. Yeah. So I knew I was on the edge because it was also a big shot.
Yeah.
So I go, I just have to get my blood thing down. I go, I looked at her. I was like, I need time. Because the way to get out is if you're on the edge is to do the blood draw because it happens in about 2 hours. So I knew once I got out of, this nurse comes to the station. It's 2 hours later. I know I have nothing in my system. But because I was an asshole to the cops, this phlebotomist comes in and she takes my blood. And I go, and I was still being a dick because I was mad about them hitting on her. I go, can't wait to get out of this shit. And she took it and dropped it on the ground and it broke on the ground. And then she went in the bathroom and came out and she goes, we're all set here. And I was like, fuck you, fat bitch. Ba-da-da. And they set me up on it. And I couldn't, there's nothing I could do. Yeah, it was crazy. But but the lesson here isn't, because now I'm done with it. It's years later.
Yes.
It's behind me. And it did teach me a lot. It really did. I sold my car after that. I go, I'm going to Uber everywhere.
That's right.
Uber started breaking. I go,
I knew you at this point, right?
Yeah, totally. It was yesterday. No.
You've been through a lot in 24 hours.
3 or 4 years ago. I don't remember. So I think it'll be 4 years in December. But it did teach me, like, don't do anything illegal. Because even the two drinks, I was on the edge. And probably if I'd done a breathalyzer in the field, I was doing something illegal.
Yeah.
But now I don't do anything illegal.
Yeah, everyone's... I think whether you think you have or not has gone through some, I don't know if traumatic is the right word, but like stuff where you have a choice in the matter to
push something that doesn't need to be pushed, or put yourself in a situation that doesn't, you don't need to be in. And then, and also you get to choose whether or not you are reflective or learn from what you did. And you've been real good about
and
that.
They're over, and that, you know, what I went into them on too, like, I go, you guys know you're over patrolling these DUIs. It should not be $20,000. It should be like 10. You pay the thing, but it's like ruining people's lives. And there's articles on it, like the courts now with DUI, it's the only thing where it's the entire range of people in the United States. And they're also not patrolling other things, so it's so expensive that that's all they're looking for.
Yeah.
Because I've been pulled over in Hollywood here before I got it. I was definitely dipping my toe in danger constantly. And this bike cop just took my ID, stuck his nose 1 inch from my nose, goes, how many drinks have you had? Actually, it was coming from your house at the old place.
Oh, shit.
And we had just taken a big ass bong hit. I mean, a big one. And so then we like finished ping pong.
These are my bong rip days.
I got, you know, your old apartment?
Yeah.
I took a right and got pulled over right away.
What?
Yeah, kitty corner to Pink's. So I go, nothing. And he just goes, have a good night, and hand my ID back. So there's over, like, you're just looking for a DUI. It's that shouldn't be right. Or dude, it isn't right.
I remember a time driving back from San Diego, I got pulled over and my car just reeked of weed, and I like tried to overcompensate. And it was one of those things where it's like, I mean, look, and I've gotten tickets for things and the cop was just being a dick. But like sometimes you do find a guy that just goes, I know you're doing some shit, but like I'm in not a bad mood and you're being somewhat cooperative. And like he could see, I was overcompensating with my eyes where I was like trying to not be high. So I'm just like widening them up so big.
Yeah.
So literally the window rolls down and just imagine somebody just tweaking out, looking at you with their pupils as wide as possible, being like, what up?
You know?
Also, don't say what up. Like evening officer, like some sort of like, verbiage that is that they're accustomed to. And so what up with the eyes wide? And he just goes, what's going on? And I go, just driving, living. Okay, dude. Are you fucking gonna read me a poem? Are you trying to freestyle right now? And I'm assuming what he's thinking. And then he goes, smells good in there.
Oh Jesus.
And I go, yeah, it does. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, just confirm. Yeah, it does. Right.
You just go full Doc Holliday at that point, like Johnny Tyler, you mad cop.
Yeah. Hey, and then I say back to him, are you tanning? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes, license registration. I had all the shit. I did that part very well. Mm-hmm. I did the part I was supposed to do.
You give me your weed license.
I give my Subway stamp card. You gonna stamp two more of those? I'll split the footlong with it. And so he looks at my shit and he just goes, shakes his head and just goes, fucking be careful.
Yeah.
And drive faster.
Wow.
Because I was doing like 40.
That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, on the freeway.
The revenue, because of Uber, all the revenue for DUIs is down in California. Yeah. They were running on the shit, so now they're going to start busting people for weed. Do not do that again, I'm telling you.
I know.
It's not a good day.
I know.
And the munchies in prison, you ain't getting good food.
Did you actually get a meal?
They gave me, I think, a microwave.
Yeah, this
orange.
Guy named Tannen.
Yeah.
He got the last of his butthole.
Microwaved orange.
Yeah. A microwaved orange. Yeah, what is the prison food?
Dude, it's an orange and a bologna sandwich that you would never eat. You're like, okay, now I'm under your mind control? No.
A microwaved orange, dude.
It had no water in it. People peeled it and it fucking, like, we became dehydrated. A wildfire started.
Oh, that's funny.
No, and I remember they opened the cell too. I mean, it's the worst daily. They opened the cell. And the guards won't get in the cell. There's 20 people whose like lives are online besides you. And they just threw food at us like a lion. Yeah. And it was just, I mean, literally bouncing off our heads like, thank you.
It was actually like one
yeah,
of
you
the...
still want to seem appreciative, right?
Yeah, totally.
You're like, maybe if I say thank you for the warm orange, they'll give me like a, you know, cold soup.
And at that point, you're in survival mode. So you're fully committed to the retard character. So no one beats you up like, thank peanut.
Wait, so you're dumbing down everything, so nobody comes at you. So they, because even in prison, you're like, there's some sympathy or what?
I think there's a little bit.
So if you come in with an ego, like I own this fucking cell, someone's gonna.
You're it's
gonna,
more if you're retarded. No one wants you to join their gang too, so you're just left alone.
Yeah, nobody wants to have sex with the retarded.
If you act retarded in prison, you're white. You've besmirched the Aryan race's name. They're not claiming you,
dude. But that's one of the things you pick up on immediately. It's just like everybody's retarded. Like it's like,
oh yeah.
There's a lot of people that are, you know, in trouble with drugs. There's a lot of people.
Well, look at some of these Trump supporters that get like FaceTime on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was this Kimmel piece he just did where he sent this guy to a Roy Moore rally or something. But like some of these people that are, he was just like, and the guy's character was just be so anti, you know, and very pro Roy Moore. It was like Roy Moore. And he was like, he's like, well, you got to go for Roy Moore. And he's like, so what? He assaulted these teenage girls and he had all these allegations and he raped. He goes, he's not a Democrat. And the people are like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, he didn't come.
Oh, yes. is that their argument?
He never come.
Everybody knows that about good old Roy. Dude, and they're just, all of them are just the worst looking people. It's like Mr. Potato Head, but they left the mouthpieces in the sun for 3 days. Like everyone's mouth just is so fucked much up.
Yeah, so
like,
they couldn't find any hair, so they used like ears for hair.
Yeah.
Just tons of lip licking. Like they're just lip licking.
Oh, God. Yeah, it really is like they fit the bill, dude. I know at least the ones now that are still diehard sticking to the cause. Like, Look, I know some people that they voted for Trump that were like good, like just, you know, at the get-go. But at this point,
at this stage,
like
you can't do it.
You are like what we're describing. It's like, and that's who I've come into contact with, and that's who you're seeing portrayed. And like,
yeah, and those people make the people in jail look like geniuses.
Absolutely,
100%. I mean, the people in jail, it's just like there's no other place to put them. They're so stupid. They could never do a
Should
job.
Put Trump supporters in jail.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe. That's an interesting.
Mark had a great idea.
Mark would be down for that.
Mark had a great idea the other day. We were just you know, having a nice conversational rant about Trump and this and that. And I was saying how this thing that Seth Meyers showed of him on the phone. I think it was with a German prime minister or somebody, but he was giving somebody like updates, and he had like papers, and he was doing a three screen Skype, and he was like an old grandpa rambling, like on. So he was like, "We've been getting the nuclear stuff. That's going good, and the wall is still coming. So we're gonna get that. That'll be great. And you know, we had Halloween here, which was fun. The kids were all real fired up about it. It was great. And what else? Well, it's just rambling and just being. And this is the tax. There's a very big break coming so that'll be great. You know, and he's just like just rambling. And Mark goes, to get out of these conversations and avoid these sound bites,
because he doesn't want
to
do it.
He just needs to like say when they're like, "Hey, we got the prime minister on the phone," or he's about, what was it? He's about to call him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he calls, and then Donald picks up and goes, "Hey, well, you know what, man? I gotta take a shit. I'll call you back," and then never call him back.
Nobody ever stops you if you're like, "I gotta take a shit," and you get off the phone. No one's gonna be like, "Well, hold on, or take me with you." You know, like they understand and they go, "Cool," and then you never call back, and then they go, "Donald, why didn't you call Israel back?" And he goes, "My mom called." You know,
yeah.
Or some sort of like, you know, somebody else.
You see him 3 months later, like the Paris Peace Agreement, like at the Paris Peace Agreement 3 months later, and like, dude, you never called me back. He's, "Oh, fuck, I forgot, dude." Yeah. You just keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I feel like we're in this constant like waiting game right now for something. But at the same point, like, man, with these natural disasters and the wildfires and stuff, it just seems like
gives a fuck about any of that.
On every cylinder, it seems like the chaos is rising to the top of the pan, you know?
Matt Lauer going down.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is a symbol.
People are throwing that. I mean, and that is a big deal. But, you know, but yeah, it's like it's on all fronts where it's like, you know, public figures and then like natural disasters and politics and I mean, it's all just kind of coming to.
Shit's hitting the fan. Grab as much spaghetti as you can. You said it earlier.
I think he's going to reach a point to even like an alien comes on TV, reveals himself and goes, "I'm out."
Oh, he goes,
"You guys, I was trying to fucking learn about you guys. This is too much.
He goes, I'm going back to destroy you. I came here to destroy you guys. Now I got to help. This is awful." "You guys are a wreck. We're not taking you over. We're going to leave you here in a little bit better shape."
Did you guys watch Meth Storm on HBO?
No, I can't watch that.
What the fuck, dude, is that?
Do you have to watch it all in one day?
I watched it in pieces. 7 episodes. I watched it in pieces, I mean, just talking about Trump supporters, it made me think of that. Because then you watch that and you go, "Okay, I see why these people could be easily swayed." But I doubt those people are registered now.
The Trump supporter thing too. It's like the women who are backing these people. You see them, and then you see that they're next to their husbands, and you go, chemically, that's the same gender. You eat enough like KFC chicken with the hormones. You drink on the couch. You sit on the same lazy boy next to each other. You watch enough Wheel of Fortune. You become the same gender.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't look like I don't see the difference between a man and a woman there.
No. She's lost all femininity.
Yeah, she has.
She just, but the thing is, too, it's like, they're just mad. Like, they're connecting to his hate. And you go, what's that hate about? I hate when people are like, they're not racist. There's very good people that aren't racist. And yeah, maybe. But a lot of them voted for him because they're racist.
Yeah, and they just don't vote the way we do. Adam, you were talking about a couple weeks ago, like, I think social media has made it worse because they go, "Oh, you think you're having such a great life?" You go, "No, I pay my rent 3 times late each year." Like, it's not that great out here, but I think they see people on the coast like, "Oh, you're having so much fun."
Yeah.
You're better than us. And they just see how we vote and they go, "I'm voting the opposite." And that's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck those people.
Yeah. Fuck everybody. You know, that should be, you know, Whoopi. Fuck Whoopi.
Damn. What happened with Whoopi, though?
Pointing at you.
Oh.
You tell me what happened.
Oh, Whoopi. Yeah. No, but I think she's still down. She
Joe, I think you should reach out. I think next time you come on this podcast, there should be some sort of an attempted result on your part.
Yeah. And
because this was great. That. We should do this again. I feel like there's...
Yeah.
I mean, we got into some great stuff, but
we
I feel like
deep.
This is...
Yeah. We went deep.
I appreciate you opening up about that stuff. And look, not only just for comedic purposes, but, you know, that is one of the, I think, the best parts about, you know, us being comedians is being able to look at things that are fucked up and find the light side and also be reflective about it. And,
The next time we get together, we'll dig into the Whoopi files.
Yeah, the Whoopi files.
That, I'm serious, though. If you could reach out.
There's a lot of rehab. There's a lot of rehab stories, too. So
we've had a good amount of rehab stories on here, but I feel like yours.
Well, I went to one where everybody was court ordered out of prison. So it was pretty interesting.
Court ordered out of prison.
Yeah, like so they go, we're releasing you, but you've got to go to this treatment center. So they were coming there directly from prison. That was like all the people I was staying
with. And this is a house with regular locks on it too, right?
It was just like an apartment, yeah.
Oh, is this where you met also Fernando?
Yeah, the dude that had... Yeah, this guy...
Describe this guy.
This dude like basically slept on a couch for like maybe... almost a month. He was just sleeping on his couch, coming off meth. And then finally, everybody's got to go to group. Nobody could get him to go to group. Finally, he shows up to group. And he starts talking, immediately starts crying, starts describing...
Was he wearing footsies?
No, he was...
Tweeber PJs?
He was a... Dude, he was... I mean, he's hard to explain, but he had a ponytail... pretty sweet mustache.
Okay, so he's off the couch in the meeting.
And he's he starts crying and describing this incident that happened in Mexico. He's working on a construction site, and they accidentally killed a guy on the construction site. And rather than tell anybody about it, they just buried him.
Fuck.
They just buried him in the construction site. Yeah. And we were just sitting there like...
He confessed that?
I'm biting my fucking lip. I'm trying not to laugh so hard. Because this dude hasn't said two words. And then he comes out with the most epic story I've ever heard in my life. Like the first time he opens his mouth.
Also, you don't chalk that up to drugs. That's just you.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like...
Well, no, he was saying like his guilt about this thing.
Led to the drug addiction.
But it was pretty... Yeah. So anyway,
that was already rolling. If you bury a dead guy, it gets to kill him.
I wanted to find out where it was.
Yeah, that's already inside of you. You don't need an extra push.
Yeah, the drug addiction is also rolling.
Yeah. If you're trying to play defense in the fourth quarter, you don't need Gatorade. You're either going to do it or you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to like find out where it was so I could go down there. And just when people were there, I'm like, you know, there's a fucking dead body here.
You should.
Somewhere. Yeah. Underneath this. Cathedral.
No. Can he also... What was some of his other stories?
Oh, yeah. And then he apparently had like lit a crib on fire.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you can't do that.
When he was smoking, accidentally lit a crib on fire with a baby in it.
Oh, my God.
When he was smoking crack.
Also, why even under the crib?
I don't know, dude. I think he was just like near it. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, dude. You're not making all the right decisions if you're smoking crack around a baby.
Yeah.
You know? Like you're not going A to B. You're going A to C.
Yeah.
You're going C to P.
Right. You didn't just get you weren't celebrating a promotion.
Yeah. Maybe you were, though.
Smoking crack.
Hey, you don't know how this guy celebrates.
Maybe. I'm just saying he probably wasn't killing
And what we're listening to right now is the origin story of George Perez.
No. Yeah, it could be. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, dude.
This is great.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Where can people find you on social media?
At Joe Sinclitico, JoeSinclitico, Twitter and Instagram.
Cool. You can find me tagged in Joe's tweets.
Tannen.com.
What do you post on Instagram?
I mean, just pictures of stuff.
Oh
shit.
Yeah.
That's a novel idea. Yeah. That's a different
sunsets, yoga.
Yoga?
Yoga.
Do you post yoga pics?
I posted one yoga pic. A lot of me vaping. I'm a pretty...
You're a big vapor.
Pretty intense vapor.
Yeah, but that's where you get your... That's your fix.
That's my fix.
You need one.
That you
we
need
all
one.
Need, like
that and food, caffeine.
Yeah.
What's your go-to food?
And high-powered rifles. What?
Shit. Do you go to the range?
No, I don't really. If I have a high-powered rifle. I just feel like, in general, people that are obsessed with guns, it's kind of like porn. Like, it's like they're all they don't in. Really do anything with it. They're just like, look at this fucking rifle. You know what I mean? Like, they're holding it like, ugh, I don't fuck this rifle.
It never got testicular cancer.
You know, the one time I, the last time I shot a gun where there was a lot of repercussions, I was waiting to, I went, my mom dropped me off.
Where there was a lot, the last time where there was a lot of repercussions, there was a time before that.
With minimal repercussions?
Let me separate those. All right. So I've been to a range and done that stuff, but, and shot the targets, but the only time where I got reprimanded for firing, you know, because in the range and stuff, you're, that's what you're there for. You're
yeah, going, yeah.
They set you up.
They want
but
you
this
to
was just a, my mom dropped me off at Scott Vaughan's house, and then his mom, Kathy, was going to take us to the roller skating party in sixth grade. So I'm very fired up. But there was a girl I was looking to ask to do there's, you got all skate, you got girls ask, guys ask, you got shoot the duck, right? All these things. There's a girl, I'm like, I'm going to ask her. I'm wearing the t-shirt that doesn't, you know, that hide some of my, you know, tits. And I'm wearing my fluorescent arm bracelets. I'm like, this is going to be the year. And I'm sitting there waiting in Scott's room, and he's got this giant bear, like, you know, those, the bears that you can get at the fair or like some toy shop, or they have them on displays at like a Bed Bath and Beyond. Just the giant, like, if you're a kid, you sleep on this bear. It's like, it looks like an actual bear, but it's a stuffed animal.
If you don't have a dad, you call it dad.
This thing's chilling in the corner of his room, and there's a BB gun across the way. And I pick up, and I didn't know he had a fucking BB gun. I just saw a gun. I'm in the sixth grade. I was like, boom, boom, boom. I'm making the noises, boom, boom. I pull the trigger. I point it right at the bear. There's no reason for me to shoot this bear. There's no reason for me to pick up the BB gun. I literally, his mom's in the other room. Scott's getting ready, whatever. I pick up the gun. I hold it right at the bear. I fire it. BB goes right off in the middle. Dude, it was literally in the middle of this heart. I saw this shit in slow-mo. Bear explodes. Stuffing every, like, just shot it. Boom. You hear like a, and then just bear goes in slow-mo. There's fucking like, and his mom, I just hear her go, what the fuck? Yeah. And then Scott runs in and goes, my bear. Or it would have been great if he was like, dad, you know? Yeah. And he goes, and there's this stuffing like falling down, and I'm holding the gun still. And like, what should I just, and a panic settled in. So I didn't drop it, you know, out of just, you know, the situation taking over. And he comes in, he's like, what'd you do? I was like, I was just holding the gun, you know, and then fucking, you know, and I was like, and then I fucking put the trigger and like,
somewhere out there, Winnie the pooped his pants. I'll tell you that. And he just leave the house.
So his mom dropped me off at home. She wouldn't even take me. So here's another situation of like, you know, principal saying, you got to get this kid on Ritalin and not expelling you. This mom was like, made the decision of he can't go to the skating party. And I love my mom.
Oh.
This is why Puddin's the shit. I remember this woman dropped me off and was like, he blew up my son's, Scott's bear. And my mom was like, why don't you drop him off at the skating party? Like, why do you get to decide that he can't go? You know? And so my mom fucking, she goes, get in the car. We're going to the skating party. And she fucking dropped me off. And I remember seeing Scott on the thing. And like, if I was a true gangster, I would have done shoot the duck and done like a fucking bull. Like, she held up a gun and be like, boom, you know?
She drops out the skating party holding like a hair dryer and a fucking, you know, I don't know, something she made
a picture of the bear?
Yeah, just the raggedy
anyway,
carcass.
Anyway. All right, well.
Oh, my website.
Yeah.
Cool. It's AdamRayTV.com. Just bought it today because yours expired, bitch. Yeah, you can have it back for $300.
The Weinstein
Deal.
Company.
Deal.
It's MarksComedy.com. Everything's on the front page.
Great.
You can click on that stuff there.
Great.
Cool.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be doing this again real soon.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys want some ALN sweats?
Yeah,
fuck
definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe a beanie. Would you rock a beanie?
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
I would not do a beanie, but sweat. I will
do a beanie.
They're not slippers.
I would take a beanie if I would use it, but
whatever
I won't.
Free shoes.
You won't
you
wear a beanie? I feel like you would rock a beanie well. You wear hats.
You wear a beanie when you're in like East Coast.
I'm never over there. I'll take a beanie if you want to waste some money. Give me a beanie if you want.
All right, that's it.
Good, cool.
All right. Awesome.
Awesome.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.